This hour of the Kevin Miller Show is brought to you by MinutemanRx.com. American families, American veterans, taking care of Americans, fighting for America.
I called Bob and Janie Bergdahl and told them that after nearly 5 years in captivity, their son, Bo, is coming home.
Fighting for Idaho.
5 years is a seemingly endless long time, but you've made it.
The ethos here, no one left behind, is true. Bo, you are not left behind.
Fighting for you.
And we would appreciate it if you'd stop by Walmart between now and Saturday at 6.
I just want to give kudos to the rescue missions in the valley.
And we would love for people to stop by and donate.
How grateful we are for these people to step up and really help those who are in need.
Voices Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
6:05, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO from the Walmart at Garrity. We're rolling right along. Let's go to our friend Brenda Weber, who it's been a long time since we've had a chance to speak with Brenda. Brenda, of course, believed in Sergeant Bergdahl, and whether you agree with him or not, whether you agree with how it went, Brenda is truly one of the heroes in this case, and we had a nice time to catch up yesterday. And Brenda, good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO.
Well, good morning, Kevin. I feel like I'm at home already talking to you.
I know. It's been quite some time. And for people that are not familiar with your situation, tell us a little bit about how you in Wisconsin, all the way in Wisconsin, got involved with raising awareness for Sergeant Bergdahl's return.
Well, our family, well, from my grandmother and my father, have been very patriotic people. However, we are a non-military family, which I think made it a little unique. And once we had learned that there was a live POW named Bo Bergdahl, it was just a calling to our hearts. And I remember sitting down and praying the Lord's Prayer with our family, and I actually thought the information might be inaccurate because I was always well-versed about what was going on in the world. At least I thought I was. And did some more research and found out the young man was held and was captured on June 30th, 2009. And I just felt that God had placed this calling onto our hearts to go and see if we could help in whatever way we could, and came up with the idea of just starting to collect signatures that we were going to present to someone, you know, a politician or whatever, to show our support and our love for this young man and his family that we have yet never met, yet somehow became family through the whole process, and ended up collecting over a half a million signatures just to bring awareness to the plight of this young man. And I'll tell you, Kevin, I walked past an American flag and a POW MIA flag last night, realizing that Sergeant Bo Bergdahl does not have to have the POW MIA title next to his name. And I wept with tears of joy, knowing that so many people, well before the Webbers and so many people after the Webbers, felt it necessary to do what they had to do in as small of a part or as a huge of a part that they contributed, believed in the fact that this boy deserved to come home, and he tasted freedom one more time. And we are so grateful that Bo Bergdahl, that God put Bo Bergdahl in our hearts.
580 KIDO, our friend Brenda Weber with us. Tell us about the campaign, because, Brenda, as you and I both know, you work on these things, you work on them, you meet people that you'd never, ever meet, and then all of a sudden we continue on with our lives. But for people that aren't familiar with what happened, tell us about your work and you going to Washington to stick up for Bo Bergdahl.
Well, we traveled throughout the United States at our own expense, just promoting the opportunity for people to sign a one-page petition. It was not an online petition, which have there was multiple of them. We started this as a grassroots effort. We had made contact with the sheriff in the county of Idaho, and then spoke to Colonel Tim Marsano, who gave us some very good advice, and we stayed on that path of remaining just a very patriotic and God-loving family, and had an opportunity to speak on the phone or Skype us several times with Bob and Janie. And we started something of a vigil. We did a prayer vigil in central Wisconsin. Pretty soon we were doing them in the southern and the northern part. went through Indiana, Arizona. We started hearing from Gold Star mothers. We had the honor and the privilege of meeting on the computer live POWs who have long since come home. And the one thing we have dedicated ourselves is to the POW MIA issue, along with Bo Bergdahl's freedom. And I can't begin to tell you how my heart rejoices that one of these men who have fought bravely have get to walk home on their own volition into the arms of their family and get to be just exactly that. And yes, we met a lot of wonderful and positive people. As you know, this issue has become very controversial, and it doesn't appear to be going away anytime soon. But this is somebody's boy, and this is somebody's family member that has longed to come home and that has longed to taste freedom. And I thank God every day that whoever had made the decisions, you know, nationally or internationally to have that happen, God bless you all.
580KIDO, Brenda Weber with us. It's Old Home Day here at the Walmart on Gary. Brenda, I wish you were with us. We're out collecting donations for the Treasure or the Valley Women and Children's Shelter, the Lighthouse Missions. It's great work, but going back to your work, I just am amazed that folks in Wisconsin and across the country were so into it, and you even had people in Idaho signing your petition. If you could, were there any times that you doubted that Bo Bergdahl would be returned home?
Well, let me just tell you that I think it was in the first 60 days of the day of the petition that we started, we had over 60,000 signatures, and it really represented it all 50 states, and it had just grown into a 500,000, where we really were sitting down and we rejoiced in the fact that so many people had found the petition and found it necessary to, you know, fill it out and then mail it back to us. And we assured everyone, and will reassure everyone, that that contact information has never left our hands for their own personal, you know, privacy, and they're being respectful of the fact that they did. And when it grew into over 500,000 signatures, we maintained that as well. I never doubted the calling that God put on my heart to help Bo. I prayed that I knew that one day if he had to come home on his own volition, or he needed a little help, or he came back and they had to carry him in a box, that he deserved to come home. And I'm so proud of the people that took it upon themselves, that also found it necessary to sign that petition, and the beautiful little notes that we received from people that we've never met. Some we've become dear friends with, some we will never meet, but oh, how grateful Rick and I are that they found it necessary to find us. And we're not a hero, Kevin. I'll ask you to rescind that. We were just a family who really believed in democracy and believed in this boy's freedom. And I say boy because I'm 53 years old, and Bo at that time was well early into his 20s. That we'll give the glory to God, because that's where this started and that's where it ends. And I know the Bergdahls have a very strong faith, and so must Bo to endure all that he has. And that we just ask everyone to continue to pray for his recovery and him being entered into this wonderful world that he went for and fought for. And I just want to give Haley Idaho a big hug from Wisconsin. So.
Well, we appreciate the hug, Brendan. We'll give you a hug back. What do you make of the reaction?
Somewhat anticipated, very much anticipatory. You know, this issue of POW-MIA had been started with Bo Bergdahl. There are so many POW-MIAs that are still missing and unaccounted for. It is what it is, and we have stayed on the path of goodness and fellowship and worshiping. I have not talked to Bob and Jenny. I've only contacted Colonel Tim Marsano. I believe the Bergdahls have plenty on their plate. They don't need people calling them and whatever. They know we're here for them. They know that we have the signatures here for Bo when and if. You know, I think that one day maybe when he is troubled and he is trying to reacclimate and he goes through these pages of people and thousands of people that sign this petition, might just be the day that he knows that he was never forgotten, Kevin, whether it was from Wisconsin or Idaho or 48 other states. But we even got people signing the petition that we separated that were internationally who just believed in the right thing, and that was to bring the boy home. And, you know, a person always has doubts, a person always has fears. You know, we met a lot of people, some who believed in this and some who possibly even maybe tried to take advantage of it, though they were a very, very small handful. We just believed that we were doing the right thing and we answered God's calling. And it's a wonderful thing to know when a prayer has been answered. And it almost seems like it's not real yet. It's a little bit surreal to think that Roberto, his mom and dad, will hug him and love on him. And with that love and the grace that they have of God's faith, I do believe he'll get exactly what he needs from them and the loving community that's in Haley. Because you guys have so impressed me of how you stood beside him. And when the yellow ribbons became a little faded, it never stirred both supporters. Not here and not there. And that's the one thing we all had in common was faith and the belief in that Bo Bergdahl deserved to come home.
Our great friend Brenda Weber with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. You know, I can remember so many years ago when we were talking and we would always have the updates and we'd urge people to get involved. How has this changed your perspective? And for people listening at 580 KIDO, this might be the first time. How did you find out about Bo Bergdahl's release?
Well, we were taking our grandson, Phoenix, for a beautiful nature walk. It was just this glorious day here in Wisconsin. We had a pretty harsh winter, so we really thought that was a blessing to have beautiful sunshine. And he was, you know, feeding the ducks and seeing the turtle. And my brother Jimmy called me, and he was crying so hard on the phone because his son Derek and his wife Robin were right there traveling sometimes 4 hours one way to come to the different vigils we had planned. And my nephew Derek put on more miles on his new vehicle for Bo Bergdahl than you can ever imagine. And my brother was trying to say the word Bo Bergdahl, but he was actually crying. And he said he couldn't believe it. And he had talked to Rick first. And then Rick started crying. And I thought, oh, no, our family got bad news or something. And then Rick said, my husband Rick said, you better take the phone. And my brother Jimmy told me that Bo Bergdahl had been released. And I literally sat down on the bench that was near to me, and I started weeping and just sobbing right out loud. And our friends came around, and I quickly called Colonel Tim Marsano just to verify it because I thought perhaps it was a hoax or just too good to be true. And he told me he had received about 80 phone calls already and just ended up, you know, by chance, took my phone call and confirmed it. And my heart has been pounding so fast and so grateful and so proud of this country that over 500,000 people believed in freedom and believed in this POW-MID issue. And Bo Bergdahl will be our family's forever friend. And I think every mother out there who knows that you do anything for your children. And I did something for somebody else's son, and I'm so proud of that, and my family's effort and everybody else's who found it necessary to get involved for all the right reasons.
Brenda, a couple more questions here before we get rolling. I'm getting pounded on Facebook, Twitter, everywhere about the coverage of Bo Bergdahl, people calling him names, saying he's a traitor. You know, I know the Bergdahl family. You know the Bergdahl family. You've done all this work. You're emotionally invested in it. What would you say to people right now, and maybe you felt this brushback as well, that don't have very nice things to say, whether it's at 580 KIDO or somewhere in Wisconsin, about Sergeant Bergdahl, and he hasn't even left Germany, and people want him court-martialed?
Yeah, we do have our own personal feelings about that. The one thing I can tell you that we have learned is that this issue is very deep-rooted, the POW-MIA issue. And I think that people sometimes hear things or read things and don't find the time necessary to perhaps validate that or do a limited amount of research. But it can be very swaying, whether it's truthful or not. And we just always encourage people to do their own homework, come to their own conclusions. But I really think the only one that really knows what happened was Bo Bergdahl and God. And until that information gets forwarded, we've always held on to the fact that I feel like my heart knows Bob and Jenny Bergdahl enough to tell you they are incredible parents. They are deep-rooted in their faith. they have the spirit of what Idaho is all about. You know, Haley, Idaho, there's such grassroots hearts and homes and people there that they raised that boy from little on and to being a really good, solid man. And whatever happened, I don't know. I wasn't there. But to use foul names or to use things that are derogatory in nature, I think is very unwarranted. And perhaps in retrospect, if they look back at the issue, maybe when they do, when we do find out, that perhaps they'll think there was a better way to deal with it themselves. It is the world we live in, and with the media, the social media, it can really band together people of real goodness and likewise a complete opposite. And, you know, my faith tells me to believe in goodness, and my faith tells me to, when I give, tell you I'm going to do something, I do it, and I give my 110%. I think the Bergdahl family has suffered greatly, and to add to any of that is I think that people will find a much better way to reveal their information or whatever, but everybody has an opinion, and they are entitled to that. And perhaps they too will find a better way to deal with some of those issues rather than, you know, send personal attacks or issues like that. So I just pray for the family. They find continued strength to have to endure even that. Right now their son is having a lot going on and having just to get reacclimated to his own culture and his own country and whatever. And that's what I would like people to focus on and ask them before perhaps they say the next derogatory thing, that they sit down in quiet reflection and thoughtfulness and prayer and offer one up for the Bergdahl family.
Brenda, let me know if you're coming in.
Listen, one day I'm going to arrive in Haley, Idaho, and I hope to have a cup of coffee with a lot of you out there and the post that has started the Bo Bergdahl bracelets. Mine I've worn on my wrist, but I've always worn it in my heart when it came to Bo, and no one has ever questioned that. And I'm so grateful, so grateful that the Lord put this issue in my hands, in my heart, and in our family's hands. And there is so many people I wish I could thank. But I'll just thank God for putting Bo Bergdahl in my heart.
Brenda Weber, good to have you back.
Nice to see you, Kevin. Very nice to talk to you.
Well,
I feel like I'd reach out and just give you a handshake, but here in Wisconsin, and I'm a Finnish woman, I give you a hug. And I say, kiitos paljon. Thank you very much for all that you've done for Bo Bergdahl. God bless you guys out there at KDIO.
God bless you. Hugs from Idaho. God bless, Brenda.
Thank you.
You have a good day. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. As the sun's coming up here in Canyon County, you know, I really don't have much to do here except collect donations, collect the broadcast center, and be on social media all day between folks coming out. By the way, hello to Mike, who stopped by and said, Kevin, we love the program, really appreciate all that you do. And really, all that we do is just echoing what you're doing here by listening. We do want to thank our folks at Team Mazda Subaru, Airstream, the Boise Rescue Mission. We'll be talking to some folks from those organizations coming up. But, you know, Brenda Weber hit the nail on the head. And I remember when Brenda first started, I remember talking with her. And it's a little different perspective. Last night I was on our friend Heidi Harris's show in Las Vegas, and I was giving the perspective of someone who's known the family and who has been involved in this story. And I said to Heidi, I go, look, I think there's going to be some revelations that are not too popular, very uncomfortable. You're not going to be confusing Robert Bergdahl with someone who's at the HOA putting up the American flag every day. But it's now the time to talk about it. You tell me, as always, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
He's finally free. He's finally coming home. And that's what matters the most.
I was surprised that he's being treated as a hero.
This is a joyous day.
He betrayed everything that stands for. And now he's a hero for it. And that is not okay.
Bo, I love you. I'm so proud of how far you were willing to go to help the Afghan people.
His release did come at a very high price.
We are so grateful that God put Bo Bergdahl in our hearts.
Have we just put a price on other U.S. soldiers?
All right, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO from the Walmart in Garrity. We go to Russell in Cuna. Good morning, Russell.
Good morning, Kevin. Just want to let you know that you're doing the Lord's work over there, helping get the charitable donations. That's wonderful.
Well, thank you. Benefiting the Valley Women and Children's Shelter and the Lighthouse Ministries.
Both are very important. Kevin, the comment that I wanted to make was, is both you and Brenda Weber have done a great job in making us and keeping us all aware of Bo Bergdahl and being held captive over in Afghanistan. And I think that you were helped to keep America aware of what was going on. And I'm grateful for all the information that I have gained from you over the years about Bo. But I think now that a lot of people are confusing the joy of him coming home versus the consequences for his decisions. And I don't think that the two are completely related. I think that we should be overjoyed that a soldier is coming back from a combat area. But now another issue has come up, and he's going to have to face that, and all of us are going to have to be happy that he's home, but the next part of the journey is his and for him and his family.
Well, it's going to be a long journey, and you just have to take a look at the front page of the Drudge Report here. At 580KIDO, a captured American soldier is training Taliban fighters bomb-making and ambush skills, according to one of his captors and an Afghan intelligence officials. Private Bo Bergdahl disappeared in 2009, blah, 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 converted to Islam, and now has the Muslim named Abdullah, one of his captors told the Sunday Times. Is that a common name, Abdullah?
It is.
Frank?
It is a common name.
You know, my grandfather's name was Frank Miller.
That's common.
Yeah, so I guess Abdullah, you would know this, having been in the theater. So Abdullah is and again, this is coming from, a Taliban deputy district commander who calls himself Haji Nadin, told the newspaper that Bergdahl taught him how to dismantle a mobile phone and turn it into a remote control for a roadside bomb. He also received basic ambush training from the U.S. soldier. Now, is Sergeant Bergdahl incompetent, or is he Michael Weston? Which is it?
Kevin, I don't believe that that report, I don't believe that a PFC that had just barely been in the military for a short time period would know how to make IEDs, let alone to teach these people who've been terrorists for years how to do their job.
But you're going to have people, talk show hosts across the country. We had two of them on the air yesterday, getting their reports from the Washington Post, getting their reports from, oh my gosh, it's the Washington Post. The same sources that they criticize, they're now using as primary sources to go after Bo Bergdahl. It's fascinating. I say, do we have to know all these things right now? And on the other hand, if six lives were lost trying to find him, that's pretty damning.
Yes, it is, Kevin. But see, like I said, we need to separate the two chapters. The chapter of that he was being held captive, and now that the joy that his family is feeling that he's home. And the efforts of Brenda Weber and other people, their hearts, I believe, were pure. They were doing the right thing. Are we going to sit back and say, okay, you deserve to come home, but you don't? No. We need to get all of our soldiers back.
Russell from CUNA, thank you for your service. We still need to talk. I'll try and get a hold of you soon. I'll be around.
Okay, I look forward to it, Kevin.
God bless. All right. 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Your thoughts on the Bergdahl situation. It continues to evolve. Let me just read this quickly. Reintegration military hides Bergdahl from public view. The story we just told you, converted to Islam and taught captors bomb-making skills. New York Times left note explaining desertion before going AWOL. Pentagon knew whereabouts but didn't risk rescue for, quote, deserter. Your reaction next, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. We continue on Miller's Mission. Our good friend Megan joining us from the Boise Rescue Mission. Megan, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning?
All right, very good. So tell us a little bit about the need this summer.
You know, honestly, it's one of those things that everybody considers that, you know, everybody thinks about us at Christmas time, and, you know, November and December are some of our better months. But, you know, we are a 365-day-a-year mission, and we have, you know, 300 people that are spending the night with us. We are serving over 1,000 meals in 4 different shelters, especially here in Canyon County, where we've opened a new women and children's shelter, and we've relocated our lighthouse from the Boulevard to 16th Avenue. You know, we've expanded that facility, so we're able to help so many more people. But we are, you know, always in need, and these are our leaner months, and so we're just looking for some community support right now.
Here's the issue. You don't take government funds, and so what is the source of your revenue?
We are 100% donor-supported. So we have, you know, individuals. 73% of our yearly income comes from individuals who are, you know, writing a $20 check every month, or, you know, people that are deciding, you know, I'm going to go ahead and help my brothers and sisters in need, and donating what they can, you know, paying from their widow's mite, which is fantastic.
Why do you do this?
Why do I do this? I have no idea. No, this is something that I've been called to, and there's something called by the Lord. Come on, really? Brother, my Catholic brother, I know. We know that there is so much more to us, and we're called by, you know, the Gospel of Matthew. He tells us in our, corporal works of mercy that, you know, we're supposed to feed the hungry and clothe the naked, and, you know, visit the imprisoned and bury the dead and all of the other corporal works of mercy that I'm forgetting right now.
And people listening at 580KIDO, what would you say to them as we start Miller's Mission here? We would love for this to be a yearly thing, because having gotten to know all of you folks and your wonderful works and your staff and the volunteers, these are the lean times. We can't say that enough, because let's face it, the summer's here. Kids are out of school, longer days. Helping folks might not be top of mind like it is during the holidays.
Sure, and this is like the perfect time. This is right before everyone's going to take off on vacations or take off and do whatever they're going to do for the summer, get their campers all ready and head for the hills. You know, this is the time where you're stopping by the Walmart, you're going to go load up for to take off up to Lucky Peak. Well, you know, help out. Go grab a couple cans of tuna fish or drop in, you know, $4 or $5 that you have extra that you can help us out. Because, you know, homelessness doesn't take a vacation, and we are here to help everyone that is in need.
And remember, BoiseRM.org. More coming up. Megan, thank you very much. We'll catch you throughout the day. Of course, Megan here at 4:59 this morning. Or
indeed I was.
Exactly. Yes, as I was still in the Airstream Silver Bullet for those keeping score at home.
Yes, but Ryan and I were here. We were holding the fort down.
You know, we have a lot of people to keep score, so thank you. And we'll have more great ways to contribute coming up. We'll talk to Megan in a minute. First to Jim in Middleton. And Jim, I had a chance to meet your wife yesterday at 580KIDO. Good morning.
Good morning, Ken. Well, you'll meet her again. She's going to drop by and drop something off for the rescue mission there. And, you know, I hope that the current event doesn't take away a lot of your radio time for the rescue mission. But I did want to make a comment, Kevin.
Well, you know, we can do two things at once. And again, we're here for Miller's Mission. We're here for the rescue mission. But we're also here to cover the stories as they happen. And look, you've got this blowing up. If Bo Bergdahl lived in Iowa or he lived in Ohio, we'd still be talking about it. So we've got to cover the issue, and we've got to open it up for discussion.
Well, Kevin, I'm a little perplexed. Yesterday afternoon, just getting bits and pieces, I was happy that you know, the guy is being returned. And then hearing everything I heard last night, you know, I'll reserve judgment, but either a lot of people are jumping to the conclusion and a lot of soldiers are lying about this guy, or it's some of this stuff is true. And I'm a little upset about his father making the comments that he did about Allah. Now, does he have a right to say it? Sure.
Now, and, for Jim, for those at 580KIDO that don't know the particulars of the Allah comment, can you expand on that?
Well, he praised Allah for the return of his son the other day at the White House there, I guess, when he was giving a speech, you know, about his son coming home and so forth. And you know, praising a God that from the people that took your son, and then some of the comments about Bergdahl. Now, I have followed this from the beginning, Kevin, when you brought it to bear. And I remember people saying what there was possible desertion and what have you, but they didn't know for sure. So I just put that aside. But hearing what I heard yesterday about, you know, the fact that well, I don't want to say the fact that, but he walks out of the compound and texts his buddies saying that he's leaving and so forth, and that he clearly walked through the wire. Well, all that information, at least to what I was getting, and I'm pretty in tune to what's going on. I had no idea that there was this much, I don't want to say evidence, but this many people, they signed waivers that they couldn't talk about it and so forth, which is probably a good thing. But still, I mean, there was a lot of information that we didn't know, and I'm asking you this question. Is there a lot of information that we didn't know prior to now?
Well, I think I go to one of these stories right now here at 580KIDO, that the Pentagon knew his whereabouts but didn't risk rescue for the deserter. And this would explain a lot. Remember, these stories here are, you know, evolving. Now, if this is going on, if these folks knew about this thing, the fact that it was kept quiet from the American public for so long is a heck of an accomplishment for the military, for the administration, don't you think?
Well, yes. And then there's a whole another subject or issue of releasing five pardoned terrorists for one guy. And then another issue to talk about is the timing, Kevin. That would be stupid if we didn't.
Well, that and if whether or not the law was broken.
Anyway, but, you know, right now, you know, welcome home to the youngster and what have you. And you know, I'm sure that more things will uncover. And, you know, this is not the exact time to get to drill down on all of this, but drill down, I think we should in the near future. But anyway, Kevin, have a very successful day, and a delightful wife will stop by and see you again today, and good luck with you and on your on Miller's mission there, and we wish you full support there.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
All right, you too. Our great friend Jim in Middleton, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We are continuing to take donations here for the Valley Women and Children's Shelter. In addition to that, was it the right thing to do to get Bo Bergdahl, Sergeant Bergdahl, home?
This was the right thing to do because we in the United States do not leave our men and women in uniform behind.
Okay, let's go on the narrative right now at 580-KIDO that Sergeant Bergdahl did leave his post. Jay Carney, do we say we'll be seeing you?
This was the right thing to do because we in the United States do not leave our men and women in uniform behind.
Your reaction, it is 6:51. You're listening to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. As we move along, I do want to thank Brenda Weber for joining us here. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Getting back to this breaking news that you're probably here at the top of the hour, you do have forces out of CENTCOM now saying that Bo Bergdahl could face court-martial charges. We have people calling in saying, Kevin, he's a traitor, he should be shot. I think what we're going to learn, and, you know, I've told you this for years, it's not going to be the Chamber of Commerce. It's not going to be, you know, mom, apple pie, and anything else. It's going to be some disturbing facts. But shouldn't we, and we'll dedicate some more of this program as we move along, shouldn't we get all the facts first? because I'd hate to live in a society that prejudges folks, a society when we're talking about somebody's life that does the Donald Sterling. I think that's what we're facing. So we'll see what happens. Again, his father, a very unorthodox approach to things. Bo Bergdahl, from what we've heard from published reports, a very unorthodox thing. Big Mike, who stopped by, said, look, I know some guys in his unit. He is a traitor. Well, if that was the case, why in the world was that kept from us for so long? And then you have Jeffrey Toobin, a liberal to the libs degree, saying the president broke the law. So we'll continue on with this, but, you know, the idea of breaking the law. Let's face it. Do we really respect the law anymore? 580-5436. I know we do, because they'll put us in the pokey. Let's get you to work safely and on. And Kevin Miller with you here. Coming up next, Fox News on the radio, 580 KIDO.
Serving Meridian.